Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Make Comics podcast from Comics Experience, the podcast where we talk about different questions that have been submitted by listeners or come up on the Comics Experience forums, or in some cases, just some stuff that we've been thinking about recently that we kind of either revisit or approach for the first time. I'm Joey Groh. He's Andy Schmidt. We have a question from Steve Herrick, who is actually a member of the Comics Experience workshop. Is that correct, Andy? Is he...
That is.
Yeah.
Steve is a member.
Steve sent
it. And working hard.
And he was nice enough to send in an email. I recently experimented with writing a wordless comic script. No captions, word balloons, or thought bubbles, though the artist who was working on it and I agreed that sound effects are acceptable. The nuts and bolts of writing this type of script are similar to those containing dialogue and narration, and though I enjoyed the process, it felt so foreign to me, likely because this was my first silent comic script. Do you have any tips, suggestions, observations for making comics with no words? And that is from Steve Herrick. So... you and I have talked about this at different points. There's a very seminal G.I. Joe issue from the 80s that is silent, that seems like it impacted a lot of people who read it at the time, so much so that when you were editing G.I. Joe, you actually did a silent issue. I've never actually attempted to do an entire comic as wordless, but you've been involved with at least that one that I'm aware of.
Yeah, and I've written my own just like for experimentation purposes, and there's a lot of really good stuff that comes from doing a silent comic. It sharpens a lot of skills that for a lot of people need sharpening. So I still do it, you know, as an exercise. I don't usually do like a 20 page silent script, but I might do a 5 or 6 page silent script just to kind of get back into, you know, really thinking visually, thinking about moment to moment, thinking about different types of visual transitions, the types of things that comics are built to do well. About the silent issue, G.I. Joe, Real American Hero, issue 21, by Larry Hama, that's the sort of the seminal silent issue. Silent Interlude was the title of the issue.
Right.
And the only lettered page, the only lettering that was actually done on that whole issue is the title page that says Silent Interlude and has the credits. And the letterer of that issue was paid for the entire issue. Just FYI. So yes, and then you know I was the editor that launched IDW's G.I. Joe reboot, and when we got to issue 21 on G.I. Joe Origins, which was almost like an anthology, like you know sometimes you'd have multi-part stories that would go issue to issue, like the first arc was 5 issues, but we'd also have occasional standalones, and so you could get to know characters in a tighter cast. The main G.I. Joe book was, you know, I mean, it had sort of its core cast, but it was about the whole G.I. Joe thing. There's like 500 of them.
Uh-huh.
So this book gave us a chance to sort of, you know, let readers in on who these characters really were. So the idea was to do an homage. So we got to G.I. Joe Origins number 21, and we did a silent issue Snake Eyes story, and Larry did the layouts for it. Which was very cool. And Joe Benitez, who's fantastic, did the actual art.
Yeah, that's great.
So yeah, Larry did the storytelling, which Larry actually illustrated. He wrote and illustrated the original Silent Interlude. So anyway, that's why I wound up doing that. It was sort of a, you know, like we're coming up on this thing. Like you can't ignore it. Like it's a thing that G.I. Joe comics are, you know, best known for. So you can't just ignore it. So it was a ton of fun to do. I mean, it was really fun as an editor. I think that's the only one that I remember editing that was silent. But yeah, and then so as for tips and that kind of thing, the thing to remember, and actually our next episode is probably gonna delve into this even a little bit more because we already know what that topic is, but the thing to remember is that the reason this helps hone skills is because you can't rely on, well, I'll just have the guy say what's going on. Like, and that's a trap that a lot of writers, especially if they're overworked, they wind up falling into, is they wind up having their characters sort of tell the story, tell what's going on, You know, a lot of writers do that. A lot of new writers do that, as opposed to going, how can I express that visually? Instead of having somebody say, I'm really angry with you, and maybe your panel description is something along the lines of, so-and-so says angrily, right? You know, that way you've got characters that can, that, you know, you have to figure out, how do I show this guy's angry visually? And, you know, the first you go, okay, well, he's shouting angrily and he raises his fist, you know, or do you do something else? Is it, he punches the guy? Well, that shows that he's angry, and it's much clearer, and it's a bigger gesture. So when you do something that's a silent story, you have to tell everything visually, because you're eliminating sort of, you know, what from an exposition standpoint will become sort of a crutch. And that's not to say that comics should be silent, but there is a school of thought, and I tend to agree with it, 9 times out of 10, that if you strip away the captions and the word balloons on a comic book page, or on a comic, on a 20-page comic, 22-page comic, however long they are these days, it seems to go back and forth, that I should be able to follow the story. Now, I won't necessarily get all the nuances, but I should be able to tell what's happening based on the visuals that are supplied. And that means that the setup for the story, especially for like an outward conflict, you know, like who's fighting who and why, like that, there's no reason that that shouldn't be apparent visually. You know, if you're writing a script and it's, you know, it's a cops versus robbers thing, and you need a character to tell us the robbers, you know, stole the golden turtle out of the bank. Well, there's no reason you didn't show them grab a golden turtle out of a bank, right? So that's really that's sort of the first major thing about, you know, why you do a story like this in terms of honing your craft. The other reason to do it is it's a lot of fun,
right?
And it can be very effective, effective in ways that, you know, we're used to reading comics with word balloons and captions, and so when we don't, we're aware of it. There's this sort of heightened sort of sense of like, oh, what are they doing here, right? So it creates, you know, it creates a heightened sense of interest because it's a little different. In terms of tips, the biggest tips are basically this: figure out what your story is, like what your plot is, and identify those sort of exposition beats, those story points that have to be clear. And focus on those and make sure you know how to communicate those visually. And if you don't or can't, because let's say this you've decided to make a silent issue that's about an idea rather than, you know, some sort of physical conflict, then you either need to figure out how do you express that idea visually in a way that communicates to the reader that that's what it's about, which would be awesome and is possible. Or you might want to consider, you know, if you're not like a master of the craft yet, you might want to consider going, well, maybe I'll make my silent story about, you know, something a little bit more outward, or what can be an outward thing that can represent the idea, right? I mean, that's typically what we kind of do anyway. We have an idea and we represent it somehow in a comic. So, but you just want to make sure that those key story beats, you know, what's the catalyst, what's the inciting incident, you know, what's, you know, who's conflict is with whom and over what, and that the resolution is like, if you have those things that are all told visually, then if you fall down because you're trying to do a car chase in a comic book, which are very difficult to do well, then it's probably okay, because I've got the major beats. I may not know exactly what happened in that car chase, but at the end of the car chase, they get out of the cars. I still know who's who. I know what they're fighting about. It's fine, even if I didn't get all the nuance of that thing, although obviously you want to be able to communicate that. But that sort of brings up another point. Like, I put a car chase into a crime noir comic that I wrote simply because I knew it would be challenging to do a car chase, and so it was a lot of fun to me to try and do a car chase and make that visually appealing in static images. I mean, car chases work great in TV and film. They're great for that. They're not so great in comics typically. Anyway, that's what I got. How's that?
I think that's good. The thing I remember about Silent Interlude, which I'm going to go back to just because while you were talking, I Googled some, and they're, unfortunately, and kind of fortunately, I guess, for this point, there are some pages online from the comic. If you just Google G.I. Joe number 21, the visual impact and the storytelling still resonate so much, and I just had so much takeaway that, reading that copy over and over again of everything that gets accomplished without using any kind of dialogue. And I think it's such an economy of it kind of wraps up everything that you were talking about to make me think of when you don't want an economy of action, the action sequences, how quickly they happen and the panel count, or if you do want to have extra beats because it's a moment of we're not sure what's going to happen. They're teasing it out and setting it up for a confrontation later. There are just so many choices that can be made, period, in a comic. But the act of having to take it to kind of that root level is, it seems like such a good exercise of what's the minimum I can convey, how can I convey it? And then in the case of that G.I. Joe issue, there's such a big takeaway at the end where they reveal a major character point where Rahama reveals a major character point at the end of that you don't need to see any kind of nobody needs to say it because you see it and go, oh, my mind is even more blown after everything that you just showed me. It's so much about the characters and the actions that the character takes that are expressed through a lack of dialogue. That's all just related to their actions. And for me as a writer, I know I often need to think about like character and motivation and action is character, so what can you show? And to have to put it on, oh, you got to do everything visually, no talking, it really helps me think about character better. And a lot of times with comics, at least my default resting mode is thinking like I have to think about visually these people are different. Okay, so maybe this guy is bigger and why does he move this way? Okay, well maybe this guy is smaller, why does he move this way? Why does she think about this and what's her, is she always a little standoffish or is she very extroverted and she's connecting people? What are the motivations behind people? It really helps me go a little bit deeper, so I'm kind of motivated now to think about what could I tell in kind of a silent issue or a silent couple of pages to really drive home the point of character and make that more clear. So that's just hearing you talk about it and a little bit of reflection. That's kind of what it makes me think of. And to your larger points, yeah, it seems like a great exercise to take on from an art standpoint or a writing standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like everybody that wants to write comics should do this because it really is fun, which is hopefully writing comics or drawing comics is fun for you. And what we haven't really tackled is a silent issue from the artist standpoint. Like it is the artist, and it could be writer artist like Larry, did the original issue, both writing and art, but it is really incumbent on the artist. It's the artist's responsibility to make sure that it's being communicated visually. That is something. So, as an artist, if you get a script and it's not clear visually, that's where you should be questioning the script and coming up with an idea of like, I don't know that this communicates it visually. Here's an idea that I think will work and communicate whatever the problem would be. Like we don't have a panel in here where the robber actually picks up the golden turtle,
Right.
right? So that's where, as the artist, you go back and say, I'd like to add this panel here, or whatever it might be, because that's, I mean, that responsibility is on you. I've worked with some artists before that have been like, well, that's the script. I was like, but you were aware that this didn't work, right? When you sat down to draw it, like we all thought it worked when we saw it in the script, and then it didn't work, and then. But you just went ahead and drew it because that's what the script said. And I've had that conversation where it's not like it's your fault. Like the script got through an editor, the script got through the writer, and even sometimes the artist will read the script and it works fine when you read it. But then when you sit down and actually draw the page, you discover it doesn't quite work. And then, I like to tell artists that, you're not an art monkey, right? I mean, we've heard this before. We've heard artists complain that they're treated like art monkeys.
Right.
They're not our monkeys. And this is part of the way that you're not. You should be able to speak up and make suggestions and find that balance with your creative partners of, you know, how big of suggestions should you be making? Like, if you want the whole thing rewritten, then maybe that's not the right project. But if you're calling up and going, I've got this idea, I think this scene works better this way. If I do it this way, it'll be visually a lot more interesting. It'll pop more. That's the type of stuff that your creative partners are going to want to hear, you know, and that really isn't incumbent on artists to take responsibility for that visual storytelling. And granted, it's a lot easier if the script comes in and it works really well. And that's one of the things that I think separates a lot of comic writers from it separates them in that it just shows that they're operating on a higher level. Is that they know how to write really effective panel descriptions, which would be a topic for like 8 of these podcasts if we started getting to that. But yeah, so that's I think that's a pretty good wrap on this one. Speaking of, you know, learning how to write this way and doing art, I'm gonna go ahead and plug them. We got our intro to write and intro to comics writing and intro to comic book art and intro to coloring and lettering courses are all, I think by the time that this podcast lands, all 4 of those should be open for enrollment for the start of next year. So if you've got a New Year's resolution that you're going to make some comics, this is the place to start. And these courses have a tendency to sell out. We only offer lettering once a year, and these intro courses tend to sell out. So if you're interested in those, you might want to sign up sooner rather than later. But this was a fun topic. I enjoy talking about silent issues.
Yeah, it was a very fun topic. If you have a question that you'd like to hear talked about on Comics Experiences Make Comics Podcast, you can email info@comicsexperience.com or you can tweet @comicsexperience, Comic Experience on Twitter. That's Andy and some of the folks working on Comics Experience Marketing. And until next time, keep making comics.